time.
And yeah, we have had a bit of a break. We've been struck down by various
illnesses and COVIDed.
Yeah.
That was just feedback.
Yeah. But we miss you very much.
Anyway, we're going to be talking about Lady Margaret Douglas, Countess of Lennox.
The one, the only.
And I got this from a book. I did actually cut. It was a really nice quote, but then I took out all the like connecting words to make it shorter, and now it sounds not as nice. I'm going to read it anyway. Mother was a queen, father was an earl, grandmother, niece, cousin, and grandmother of monarchs.
What?
I like it a lot when I read it. It means a lot less now that I've tried to make it more concise. But anyway. Once upon a time, in September 1515, in the Palace of Linlithgow, there lived Margaret Tudor, Queen Dowager of Scotland, Countess of Angus, and sister to Henry VIII. She was pregnant with her seventh child, and there's no record of Margaret Tudor going into confinement to have her child, but it's very likely that she would have attended a service in chapel and got her whole household to pray for a safe and happy delivery of her child. Because at this point, she was like 8 months pregnant. So they did that prayer, and then she was expected to go into her chamber to stay safe and protected and rest up and eventually give birth. But she doesn't do that. She goes in her chamber, and after just 48 hours, she leaves because she's very convinced that she's in danger and she is determined to flee her enemies who she believes are chasing her. And by midnight on the 13th of September, she, along with her second husband, Archibald Douglas — Archibald is such a funny name for me — Earl of Angus, and his brother George Douglas, and some servants, they left Linlithgow by secret, or by stealth. She has a long, long journey, and it's quite a complicated journey, but basically she arrives in England at the kind of hospitality of her brother Henry VIII. But Henry's one condition is no Scots can come into England with her.
No, yes. Scots in England.
Boo!
Slightly xenophobic of Henry, but
a little bit.
Allow it.
It's classic Tudor.
And because she's had such a long, strenuous journey, she falls very sick. And she has to be taken care of at the nearest castle, and she's basically taken care of by nobility. And she arrives at Harbottle Castle, and she is so sick that it was said in the last week of her pregnancy she lay still at Harbottle, so she obviously has no energy to do anything, she can't even sit up. And then finally she begins to give birth. Her labour lasts around 48 hours, and it's a very painful one. And finally, her daughter is born.
Wow.
Enter stage right, Margaret Douglas.
After this birth, Margaret Tudor, she... because it's just been such an intense birth, such an intense journey, she falls into such extreme sickness that her life was despaired of by all. So people thought she was gonna die, basically. But she doesn't. And her baby is christened the day after her birth, on the 8th of October. And she's named Margaret after her mother, which makes all of my notes really confusing.
Yeah.
Yes. Slay. No originality.
Can we please just at least have different spelling? Because I'm
well, Henry VIII, to counter this problem, just called her Margaret.
Cardinal Thomas Wolsey was chosen as her godparent, and because she was born in Northumberland, she begins her life as an English subject. And yeah, Henry VIII actually sends royal clothes. Once he finds out, it takes them a long time to report her birth to Henry VIII, because they're like, oh, she's a daughter, she doesn't really matter. It takes them like a good week and a bit for him to actually find out.
Did you just say woof?
A lot can happen in a week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And since so many of Margaret Tudor's children died in infancy, a lot could happen in a week, at this time especially. Mm-hmm. But it took them a long time to tell Henry. And so you would expect that Henry would not be that bothered. But he is quite bothered, quite sweetly. And he doesn't have any children of his own at this time, so maybe that's why he's a bit more bothered to have a niece. He sent her royal clothing, plates, and other necessities for his sister and the child. So he's treating her like royalty, basically. And he also lifts the ban on any Scots visiting her.
Yay!
Scots in England!
Ooh, great steps forward. However, Margaret still was very ill and was not well enough to travel on to London to see her brother until spring of 1516. The mother and baby stayed in England at court until June 1517. When Henry decided he was sent his sister and niece back to Scotland. And so, where basically, as soon as they arrive back in Scotland, Archibald Douglas basically kidnaps Margaret and just like takes custody over her for many, many years.
Archibald and Margaret Tudor, despite being a married couple, didn't really like each other that much, mm-hmm. especially considering that, like, it's a second marriage. I don't know, normally in my head, I think second marriages are happier, but no. They were reportedly quarrelled quite a bit.
They were giving, like, flame, but then they got married, and then it's like, oh, now we're actually stuck together for ages, and we're not long-time compatible.
No. You know, I can imagine them, and nowadays, without the whole drama of the kidnapping and that
sort
of stuff.
I can still see the kidnapping happening.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well...
most kidnappings are done by parents. Anyway.
So Margaret gets a bit of quality time with her dad.
Then, in 1530, she joined the household of Mary Tudor, princess and daughter of Henry VIII and Catherine of Aragon, obviously leaving Scotland. Being very close in age, two became close friends, and the friendship stayed strong even when Margaret was named Henry's heir presumptive, because he had made his daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, both illegitimate. Their friendship still remained good. I think that's kind of sweet.
Was a lady of waiting to Anne Boleyn for a time as well. Very prominent position in court, especially considering Henry VIII, you know, rushed her back to Scotland. That would imply that maybe he didn't love her that much, but then this changes that.
I would argue Henry's potentially the biggest flip-flop of all time. His opinions? You never know where he's going with it. However, her time as a lady-in-waiting to Queen Anne Boleyn got her in a bit of a pickle, shall we say. Because she fell in love with Lord Thomas Howard, son of Thomas Howard, 2nd Duke of Norfolk. And the couple became secretly betrothed and was split up by a furious Henry VIII, who threw them both in the tower. Now, you may be thinking, why does Henry care who she marries? Excellent question. Because, basically, because he's named both of his daughters illegitimate, she is second in line to the throne. And now she's married into arguably the most powerful family of nobility in England. Hypothetically, be marrying into the Howards, who, very powerful, would just strengthen her claim power to the throne. And Henry felt threatened. Maybe he felt threatened by love. Because he seems to not be very good at that. And if she married an English nobleman, especially such a powerful one, her claim to the throne would actually be more popular than her brother James's, because she would be seen less as like a foreigner and more of like a lady of the people.
Thankfully for Henry, this problem is sorted out pretty quickly. Thomas Howard actually dies in the tower.
Yeah, he's found guilty of trying to usurp the line of succession by marrying English-born Margaret. But it was probably just unlucky, bad timing for him, because let's be real, Henry is very angry at that family, and it did not help that he was Anne Boleyn's uncle. And he's not on the same wavelength as the Howards at this point in time. He's angry at them. He's not their number one fan.
Apparently she wrote a lot of poetry about him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have a line from one of her poems.
So maybe she really liked him.
Yeah, I think they genuinely liked each other. I don't think this is any kind of a power grab. I think Margaret inherited her mother's bad timing and like love decisions. So Margaret was released, not really found guilty. Well, she's well ill in the tower, and she's sent to Sion Abbey and to be kept there under house arrest. She was released on the 29th of October 1537, but alas, her beloved Thomas died in the tower on the 31st of October. He died of an ague, quote unquote, in the tower, and it said that she was devastated and even suicidal. In her last entry in her poetry collection, she expressed hope that she would be reunited with, quote, him who I have caused to die. So she was clearly doing really, really well.
I was just going to say, it is important to note just the vast shift in what society looked like when she went into the tower and came out. When she went in, the Howards were incredibly powerful. We have Anne Boleyn on, like, as queen. We don't have a male heir. Obviously, Margaret, as we said before, is very, very high in the line of succession. But when she comes out, things are really different. Henry is married to Jane Seymour, and we have the birth of Edward happening, if not happened, or upcoming. And everything is just is shifting a bit for Margaret in the amount of power that she has over her life.
Mm. Strange time for her.
Yeah, and so you can see how with that sort of feeling coming over her, and then with the death of her lover, who she had the autonomy to fall in love with, even though she did get in prison for it, it would feel quite...
It can feel like her whole world is coming down.
Yeah,
always.
Yeah.
However, all is quickly forgiven. Maggie D went on to serve as a lady-in-waiting to Anne of Cleves and Catherine Howard, but was sent back to Sion for a while. Sion House, where she was under... Sion Abbey, where she was under house arrest before, because she fell in love with Catherine Howard's brother.
Charles.
Hmm.
Charlie. And she fell in love... Yeah, she fell in love with Catherine Howard's brother. But it would seem it didn't work out for them, which... What a shame.
So, after all of these sort of failed love exploits, she is given an arranged marriage to the Earl of Lennox. Matthew Stewart, and he is a little bit of a Scottish exile. So we've got some Scots in Britain, which is exciting for everyone. And this is in 1544, and I think, you know, it was an arranged marriage, but it became a love match. Henry also gives them lands in Yorkshire. That's quite nice.
Would you love Yorkshire?
Up north. Close to the heartland of Scotland, where she gives birth to her first son, Henry, who's more commonly known as Lord Darnley. So Margaret sort of becomes obsessed, the ambition taking over, and she's obsessed with Henry and sort of, you
vengeance.
Know, using him to the best of her ability to do whatever she can. And she contrives his marriage to Mary, Queen of Scots, who at this point is widowed. And this marriage will go on to have the birth of James I of Scotland. We ignore the slight incest there. But isn't that the truth all the time?
And that's kind of why James... It's another reason why James's claim to the English throne was so strong.
Yeah.
It's also thought that she may have had something to do with his murder. So that's really... cute as well. But he wasn't the only child. The couple in total had 8 children.
Most notably, well, not most notably, obviously, but second most notably, if you're listening to our podcast, is Charles, who goes on to marry Bess of Hardwick, for those of you, little flashback to the Bess of Hardwick episode. So I think we mentioned Margaret Douglas briefly there, but here she is again.
We gave her a little shout out there. Yeah, I mean, she definitely got her children connected.
But all this little marrying off, Elizabeth is absolutely fuming. And, you know, rightfully so, I'd be a bit mad if I was queen of people doing things willy-nilly behind my back, especially somebody as prominent as Margaret Douglas. So,
dear old aunt.
Yeah.
Cousin Margaret.
Cousin Margaret.
Cousin Mags.
So Elizabeth does imprison her. Story of Margaret's life. And
Elizabeth's like, girl, give me something new.
Yeah.
Before we skip there.
Yeah.
Henry Stewart was born in 1545, 1546. Anyways, around the same time that Henry VIII died, she had been cut out of his will because they had been arguing, probably to do with her plans for power, and she kept quiet during the Protestant reign of Edward VI because she was, after all, Catholic. I think we haven't really mentioned that, which is interesting because it's also interesting to go back to what Phoebe was saying earlier about like looking at all the social changes that she lived through. So she keeps herself to herself during the Protestant era, and however, she was treated very well during the reign of Catholic Mary I because, in case we hadn't already said, she was already good friends with her. She actually attended Mary's marriage to Philip of Spain as Mary's chief lady, which is basically like maid of honour. equivalent vibes. And so getting, you know, getting, and then obviously after Mary's reign, Margaret viewed Elizabeth as an illegitimate daughter and therefore supported Mary, Queen of Scots, claim to the throne. And so when she managed to get the strings together, you best believe she was thrilled when her son married her, whatever.
But her son would be murdered.
Yeah.
Brutally murdered, if you will.
But yeah, but Elizabeth realises she can't punish Darnley because he's like King Consort of Scotland and she's not trying to create an international crisis. On the 19th of February, 1567, the imprisoned Margaret was told that her husband and son had been killed. It was actually a mistake. Her son had been killed. Lennox was still alive. Boom, boom, boom! Margaret, she's a wreck. Son's died. Hubby's died, as far as she's aware. The royal physician has to be fetched. And she is released to Sheen. Honestly, shout out to her. She just, like, gets, like, real sad and real ill from it. And then she gets released. And kind of a tactic on her part. I don't know if it was just a tactic. Anyways, she's in Sheen. And then her husband joins there. And she's like, question mark, you're alive. He's hiding to join her after the acquittal of James Hepburn, 4th Earl of Bothwell, is acquitted for the murder of their darling son. And then they move to Cold Harbour, the property which was given to them by Elizabeth, which is interesting. I think it's interesting that Elizabeth's given out properties and throwing them in the tower at the same time, but take that as you will.
But she doesn't learn her lesson from all of this. And as I said before, she engineers the marriage of a surviving son, Charles, to Bess of Hardwick. And she's thrown in the tower again.
But objectively, on the other hand, it's also thought that while visiting Scotland, Charles met and fell in love with Elizabeth Cavendish, aka Bess of Hardwick. So maybe it's just an inherited falling in love and just not being good at it, basically.
But either way, the reasoning between Charles and Elizabeth meeting, she very much brings together the marriage and sorts out all of that side of things and does not go to Elizabeth for help. Her hand is undoubtedly very much prominent within the marriage of these two. And it's also quite good for her, you know, getting her children off to prominent people. But this time, from the Tower of London, she has constant communication with Mary, Queen of Scots. And it's believed that they sort of achieved some sort of agreement, reconciliation between them two. And Margaret herself believes that Mary, Queen of Scots, has been framed for this murder, that she's not really the awful person that everybody's making her out to be, which doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
People, Elizabeth, don't really like this.
It's also important, good to note that she was widowed at this point. In 1571, her husband was killed. He was shot, actually, at Stirling Castle. And so, yeah, after Margaret gets out the tower, this girl's in and out. Once she's released in the autumn of 1574 from the tower, she goes to live with her son and his new wife. Unfortunately, he dies. Of tuberculosis, though, in 1576, and she is so sad. Honestly, she's been through a lot, I can't lie at this point. She's lost all of her family. So yeah, I guess a moment of silence for that.
So it's said that while in the tower, she constantly quarrelled with Queen Elizabeth, and it's even speculated that Elizabeth may have even sent Lord Leicester to go and poison her while she's in the tower. So this isn't just a good old family falling out. This is murder. But it also might not have been murder. So
yeah,
don't want to get sued because she by the dead Elizabeth.
Because she did. Yeah. She like comes back to life just to sue us for misinformation. That was so funny. She then dies on the 9th of March 1578 after being taken ill at a dinner party attended by Robert Dudley, Earl of Leicester.
So people do think.
So
there may be a little bit of sprinkling of something on the meal there.
A little je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
Margaret
nice
was
way
very...
to go though, poison.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it depends what poison, to be honest.
Quick.
Margaret was buried in Westminster Abbey in the Henry VII chapel, so along with her family. I've quickly got a quick little comment on her kind of legacy, I guess, because she did ultimately live up to her ancestral namesake of both Margaret Beaufort and her mother in continuing the Tudor line, which just as Henry VIII feared, would in fact continue through her bloodline, predominantly more than Henry's. Obviously with her grandson, James I of England and Scotland, obviously being her grandson and Henry VIII's like, you know, great nephew or whatever. So it is more her bloodline. So even in death, she was still sticking it to Henry.
Margaret is suspected to have had a disease called porphyria, which recently there's been a bit of research on this disease. And they can track it back, because it's a genetic inherited disease, they can track it back to a lot of the royal family around this time. So as Phoebe said, George III, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people like James V also, and just like a lot of them basically probably had it. And so porphyria is an inherited blood disorder resulting from a build-up of just different biological chemicals. But it can cause very severe pain in chest, abdomen, legs, back, bowel issues, nausea, vomiting, blood in your urine, palpitations and high blood pressure. And it can be very, very dangerous and obviously take a big toll on your life, but it can also be deathly. So she might have had that.
Might have finished rough. But there we go. That's Margaret Douglas.
She's been a long time coming. We hope you enjoyed Margaret Douglas. Obviously, as normal, let us know if there's anyone else you want to hear about or want us to talk about, or if there's any... pick your themes as well. Like, I think we quite enjoy doing that. Like, we might do the murder of Lord Darnley if anyone's interested, because that's kind of interesting. Anyways, let us know, follow us on all social media or whichever one you like at Tudor Talk Time.
I hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you next week on
Tudor Talk Time.